Hello and welcome to another episode of the Data Center Frontier Show podcast. I'm Matt Vincent, editor-in-chief of Data Center Frontier, and we're here today with Ali Hadari, technical director, distinguished engineer for NVIDIA, Marcus Hopwood, product management director for Equinix, and Bernie Malowin, CEO and founder of JetCool. So, obviously, it's a liquid cooling themed podcast, and we figured it was a pretty apropos topic given all the buzz this week with NVIDIA GTC. Bernie and I were just at DCD in New York, but everybody there was talking about and thinking about GTC. So, we've only got a half hour, so Ali, I'll just kick it right over to you. Was hoping you could share with us, you know, trends and insights from NVIDIA, sort of, you know, fresh from GTC, what we can expect to see from NVIDIA. And, you know, I know there's a lot of partnerships and a lot of technical considerations that, you know, feel free to go into.
Absolutely. Thanks for the opportunity. Thanks for having me speak on this forum. Absolutely great week for NVIDIA, not just for NVIDIA, I think for the entire data center industry. Personally, I've been on pursuit to get liquid cooling inside of a data center for the last 25 years of my life. So that started when I started joining Sun Microsystems back in year 2000. And since then, I've been looking forward to this event. I'm happy that today NVIDIA, with the number of partners from the major CDU manufacturers, the cold plate manufacturers, data center CSPs, NCPs, hyperscalers, just about everybody you know, who is involved with data center is aligned with our roadmap. We introduced two products, basically one by 36 GPUs rack that they come in twins with NVLink connections. We call them GB200 platforms, and they are capable of pushing around 60 kilowatts out of each. Around 85% is liquid cooled. So we are a first platform, which you know, one of the platforms that requires liquid cooling, is a probably in our view a lower density, around 50 kilowatts of liquid cooling. The next platform after that is 1x72 GB200, 1x72, and that requires around 120 kilowatts of heat dissipation. Again, around 85% of that liquid cooling. So we are expecting over 100 kilowatts of liquid cooling per rack. These products will be available next year. I think the large scales, 1x72, 1x36 is going to be shipped later this year. We've been working with the industry across the board from CDU manufacturers and CSP customers and cold plates and the entire ecosystem to make them ready, make sure that the timing of the product introduction is in line with their availability. One of the biggest challenge we saw was the operational challenge of having enough liquid to air heat exchangers, liquid to liquid CDUs available for the products that we are pushing. I'm happy to say that we're getting a great response from just across the board from both OEM and ODM manufacturers. And I think that product is going to be able to be shipped and supported by a number of CDU vendors throughout the industry.
Thanks for that info. Can I just ask a question that I was wondering about talking with some others in the industry? Like, what's the heat capture at the chip as a percentage? And then how do you deal with the waste heat in terms of, like, how do you deal with the other appliances in the rack that don't have chip level cooling capability?
So typically that we see over 90% heat capture on a cold plate. So cold plate attached, you know, typically has more than 90% above heat capture. We don't necessarily specify exact numbers. What we specify is the number, two numbers that I provided. For 120 kilowatt rack, we're specifying 85% liquid capture, 15% air capture. So the residual heat of 15% basically is the heat that's going to be, you know, whatever is left over from the cold plate as all the way down to top of rack switches or any other switches that require air cooling, plus the air cooled element of GB200 server. So there are 15% air cooling, 85% liquid cooling. So that basically how we divide and how we specified the CFM per kilowatt for the air cooling requirement and the LPM per kilowatt for liquid cooling requirements.
But so like, is the Blackwell, is that like an 80 kilowatt rack?
Grace Blackwell GB200, which is liquid cooled, it comes in two flavors of 36 GPUs per rack that gets up to about 60 kilowatts a rack, and with two of them to an NVLink switch attached with that. So it basically comes as a twin rack. Two of 1x36 becomes two racks of 36 GPUs per rack. The platform has, as was shown in on a GTC floor, it has a 2U server rack, server sleds for the GB200 sleds, and that has its own design. The next one after is the 1x72. Basically, you have 72 GPUs in a rack. So kind of think about, we count in terms of the GPUs, not the sleds or what. So 72 GPUs in a 1U sled. And again, the net result is that we have manifolds, rack manifolds, that bring liquid in. We distribute liquid internally. So what customers or partners of ours needs to know is, this is the FD83 connection, a connection to that connects to either heat exchanger next to a rack or to the manifold to the CDU and the LPM per kilowatt that they need to get. And that is simple math, and that's what we have specified in our specifications.
Thank you so much for that answer. Well, we were discussing how we do this panel, so I guess I'll just sort of go around the wheel here. But Ali, feel free to jump in to the discussion at any time. And I'll say that to Bernie and Marcus as well. But next, let's talk to Marcus Hopwood from Equinix. Marcus, I wanted to ask you how Equinix, who you know we cover a lot at DC Data Center Frontier, is expanding to support for liquid cooling to more than 100 data centers, and particularly for remarks on your NVIDIA partnership that you know with Equinix that we've covered.
Yeah, thanks, Matt, and thanks for having me here. It's great to be part of this forum too. As you say, we're excited about the partnership that we announced recently with NVIDIA, the Equinix private AI with NVIDIA DGX. What we're seeing amongst our customers is a strong desire to adopt a lot of AI technology, but concern as well about their data, about making sure that their data is secure and that they're fully in control. And so the managed solution that we've developed alongside NVIDIA enables our customers to do that. And we're seeing, customers in, across lots of different industries really excited about the opportunities that creates. And, as Ali talks about the forthcoming products that require liquid cooling, obviously not just NVIDIA, we've got other applications that our customers are looking to deploy that need liquid cooling.
Absolutely.
Really excited about that change, and so we've been leaning in to make sure that you mentioned 100 of our data centers that we've assessed and are capable of supporting liquid cooling deployments. So that's becoming a key part of our strategy to make sure that we can support customers that have those needs.
Right.
But as customers are deploying these more compute intensive applications, that transition into liquid as the cooling medium, really unlocks a huge amount of performance, and we're pleased to be able to support our customers on that journey.
Thanks for that answer. And of course, it's Bernie, it's time to pull you into this discussion to do a little color commentary on the discussion as we've kicked it off with Marcus and Ali. Marcus, I was going to say, and of course, the overall, we're all under the umbrella of a big AI now, increasing the demand for liquid cooling. So Bernie, I just wanted to, let you in here to speak for JetCool and innovation to provide solutions for the now term.
Yeah, no, well, absolutely. Thank you for having me, Matt. You know, it's been a really interesting time lately, as the other guests today have talked about. And it certainly has for us too at Jekyll. We're probably the lesser known of the participants on the panel today, but Jekyll is a liquid cooling solution provider. And our cold plate technology targets the hotspots on high powered chips. We actually got our start at MIT about 12 years ago, cooling 1,000-watt devices, and nobody cared. Nobody cared back then, but with the rise of AI and the amazing things that folks like NVIDIA are doing, and now all of a sudden people are starting to care, and it's for a good reason. So it's an exciting time for us as we see the future going ahead. So, you know, we think about all these challenges for cooling. And one of the things that we see is technology advances. You know, we have higher and higher power chipsets coming out. For a good stretch of 15 years or so, processing power, chip power, was about 250 watts. It kind of plateaued there for a good 15 years. And that's changed, right? That's changed. It's gone up 5x in the last 5 years. And we see that now with Blackwell coming out, reaching 1200 watts and higher from some of the news from NVIDIA. So a really exciting time. We like to build out that ecosystem as well to make sure that there's the solution providers able to cool that next generation of computing.
Now, somebody in the industry said to me that their point was that with like the H100, H200, Hopper, Blackwell, that it's all like different densities when it comes down. Do you think that's true? And, what kind of challenge does that present for deploying liquid cooling or thinking about deploying liquid cooling in a data center?
Yeah, so there's definitely different ways to think about the density, and I can touch on one of them. At kind of the box level, the chip level, certainly you have different densities for different pieces of silicon on servers, right? And those densities, with some of the latest offerings are really starting to climb, right? And so you have to really provide a tailored liquid cooling solution or cooling solution in general for all of those devices. Now, it also leads to other questions kind of at the bigger scale. And these are for our friends, at NVIDIA and Equinix too, of how do you deal with, very disparately powered racks, right? So when you get to the rack level, you could have maybe a 20 kW rack. And then, the exciting, news from NVIDIA, 120 kilowatt racks, right? So how do you deal with these things, right? You have a 20 kilowatt rack and a 120 kilowatt rack, in the same facility. And that can lead to some operational challenges, I suppose. But fortunately, the folks at Equinix have been working on this for a long time and preparing. So they've really built out some of the ecosystem to deal with that.
Yeah. Ali, is there we've come this far in the discussion and we've probably got about 10 or so minutes left. Any further input that you could put in for context, maybe in the context of trends that were shown or talked about at GTC, or just any other further input on the discussion as it's furled out so far?
Yeah, I think the best way I can describe, I changed my background to show what a data center will look like.
Yeah.
Data centers that will have a combination of air and liquid cooling. You will have manifolds, as you can see on the racks behind me, and these rack manifolds are pushing liquid in. We will see that across the board. I don't think we've been doing this for, at least I've been doing this at NVIDIA for the last 5 years. I've been doing that before in previous life, also since like 2014, 15. So it's been a long journey. I think once liquid is introduced to data centers, a lot of artificial ceilings will be removed. And I think we are making ourselves ready for time that we have to deal with hundreds of kilowatts of racks, so we can approach 500 kilowatts, 700 kilowatts. I think as long as power is available, as long as the AI factory, as Jensen calls it, it requires racks that can produce AI tokens to create the workloads that, you know, applications of like large language models and generative AIs and accelerated computes and all this require, we will have to produce solutions. So personally, me and my team have been looking across the industry, just making sure that every which way possible, we enable NVIDIA as well as the rest of the industry to achieve that goal. For us, you know, several hundred, over 500 kilowatts of heat dissipation in a rack with liquid cooling is quite doable. We've been working on a two-phase application, two-phase pump refrigeration for a few years. I think personally that is also another path that the two-phase can introduce a massive amount of heat removal. So in a world that I can think about, like data centers have rack manifold and row manifolds connected to CDUs, multi-megawatt CDUs, you know, basically our AI factories will be able to create massive amount of computations, generative AI, basically AI that's going to change our lifetime. And so once we remove that ceiling, I think we will see tremendous amount of AI-related innovations that will come out. I mean, we are working with factories that even before they're built, we create an omniverse digital twin, all based on the, you know, the AI-based and generative AIs. And I think, you know, just think about it, ChatGPT moment that we've had, you know, since about a year and a half ago, that is just a start. Just think about what will be equivalent of ChatGPT in 5 years from now. That's what we're preparing for. And that's what the world will be amazed to the ability of the computations that, you know, computers and racks will not be our tools, basically our partners in our life, everyday partners. And we will be asking questions. It will be human kind of a brain equivalent next to ours. And we can, you know, I've talked about this before, rather than me being here, maybe in a few years from now, you will just scan a few of my papers and talks and there will be an avatar of me do the same talk much better than I do.
Okay. Well, hopefully we won't have seven fingers and four heads, you know, like pictures I've seen, but just kidding around. No, seriously, incredibly valuable framing and, thank you for putting that together. I think that's going to be the whole podcast, I think, is just going to be a high level of interest for Data Center Frontiers audience. But to the point you just made, Ali, let me take it back to Marcus. You know, Equinix, 100 data centers, you know, roughly, you know, thumbnail, what would you say? How many of the data centers in the fleet are doing liquid cooling? And like, what's the level of expectation for expanding, you know, the liquid cooling full footprint for Equinix?
Yeah, so, I mean, clearly, you know, adding liquid cooling to a new project is a key part of the strategy there. You know, I'd really like just to echo what Ali says about removing ceilings. You know, we've been working with the challenges of managing air. Air is really difficult to manage, you know. You know, we've had a broad program across our estate of airflow management, you know, containment systems and everything. It's really difficult. It's really difficult to get air to go where you want it to. You know, and so we're really excited about liquid and the improvement that gives in just our ability to direct cooling where it's needed. So that's really exciting. And like Ali says, removing the ceiling, because you know, we're very much constrained by the amount of air that you can blow over equipment. You know, places the physics of that places limits on the amount of cooling that we can do in an air-cooled cabinet. And you know, in many ways, the sky's the limit when it comes to liquid.
Right.
When we think about removing the ceiling, you know, I think that's a really good point. We talk about some of these high, you know, high power computing capabilities that are coming. You know, I think we also, you know, have to also be thinking about sustainability and efficiency, right? Because all of a sudden there's an awful lot of power going into these systems. And liquid cooling is definitely a step in the right direction over air cooling, as Marcus said. But we probably need to keep thinking about that because, you know, especially in some of the EU and UK with some of the energy efficiency directives, you know, it's really energy efficiency and sustainability is becoming more of a focus for some of these high power clusters. I don't know, Marcus, what are some of the things that you might have seen in terms of advancing that efficiency in some of these high power clusters?
Yeah, well, you're right. You know, and sustainability is really important to our customers, and just the you know the moral imperative of delivering sustainability too. And liquid cooling is you know is it, it enables us to increase our facility water temperature, which you know is helpful in terms of delivering increased free cooling hours, but also makes the heat that we generate more useful for other applications. So, you know, we've got several locations globally where we're connected up to district heating systems. You know, you may have heard of the project that we have in Paris, where we're again connected up to the district heating system that will provide heating to some of the Olympic swimming pools for the Paris Olympics. And again, so driving up, you know, increasing our facility water temperature just increases the sustainability and you know, really positive changes that we can make there.
Right.
We've seen similar trends, Matt, you know, with you know, warm coolants increasing the coolant temperatures, and it's been a recurring theme, you know, heat reuse, right? Yep. Swimming pools is a great example. We've seen a lot of office buildings and municipal buildings. You know, today we're cooling H100s with 50 C in higher inlet temperatures for the coolant. And that really enables you to do some of the great things that Marcus is talking about.
Yep.
With heat reuse, which is becoming increasingly more important.
If it's, can I just ask this, since you guys are engineers and I'm not though, but if it's like 90% chip level cooling, does that mean that there will always have to be a certain amount of air cooling, even if it's liquid cooled? Or can that gap be closed? Is NVIDIA looking, you know, and companies like JetCool looking to close that gap? And could there ever be like a 100% liquid cooled deployment, you know, not to oversimplify, but.
Yeah, I can say from our side, let's even consider all of our GPUs. Let's say a GB200 platform that we ship is 100% air cooled, liquid cooled. There's always an element of air cooling somewhere else in the data center. It's not okay. All about racks. There are, you know, PDUs, there are, you know, network switches, there are other equipment. Personally, I never want to discount billions and billions of dollars of investment and infrastructure that exists in our data centers. Those cross the existing Inro coolers, the existing IDEX and what have you, they're all valuable products. We personally, when I developed this program at NVIDIA from a data center liquid cooling lead, I always was conscious about not to basically discard available resources. People will not want to discard, and we always want to use pretty much 100% of the existing infrastructure. And I agree with the assessment. When we go to liquid cooling, everything becomes much more efficient. We have published multiple white papers, and we show that PUE, it decreases power utilization, efficiency becomes better because you're surgically removing heat. It's not like scavenging air all over to cool. You're going to the point of heat removal. We have 1200 watt GPUs, and we can remove it with, you know, one LPM or so of liquid. That's very effective. And you know, I think if we consider that, you know, we will be probably staying with air cooling for some time. I mean, even the first deployment of liquid cooling is going to be air cooling. We are not going to have piping available in all data centers. We will have what is called a sidecar, a liquid to air heat exchanger, where basically air comes from the cross and liquid goes into the racks. So that is the first deployment that majority of existing air cooled data centers will have to basically adopt to, and then until the liquid pipelines and everything is available. And in the long term, I think that air cooling will stay with us, but not as intensively as has been for the last 70 years. We are changing the history of data centers, of how they have been basically performing, acting, developing for the last 70 years into a new era of hybrid of air and liquid, which will bring liquid directly to the chip, which hasn't been done at this scale in the past. They have been done in some HPCs, Crays and IBMs and what have you, but small scales. Now we are seeing it at CSPs, entire ecosystems of Metas and Googles and Amazons and Oracles, and just about every big name that you know in the industry will have liquid inside of their data centers. And that is a major shift in the future of data centers.
Thank you so much. Impressive response, but I expected nothing less from NVIDIA. I can't wait for people to hear this podcast. But we got about 5 minutes left, and I just wanted to ask a little bit more about GTC. I've been hearing stuff about GTC. People were blown away by the robots, the humanoid robots. What was this all about?
I had a chance to walk through. Unfortunately, I was very busy with a lot of customers and partners and, you know, delegates from many countries. The response is enormous. It's, to us, it's an industrial revolution effect. It's nothing less than that.
Wow.
Basically, the need for artificial intelligence, the fact that people just got a taste of AI through some of the new product that's coming out, it's just amazing how it's going to be changing our life. I mean, like, you know, and so that was most of our time. But, you know, Boston Robotics with their, you know, robots and the self-driving cars, and you know, it was tremendous. It was one of the biggest shows that I've been. I go to Supercompute, OCP, ASHRAE, and the industries, you know. But this was, to me, one of the biggest. And I'm very happy. A lot of people were very happy seeing what they see there on the floors. And I think the best way I can describe, and if you have everybody on this call spends time to listen to Jensen's keynote, this fellow is extremely intelligent. He is, in my mind, not just because he is the CEO of my company, but he is very good. He sees future and he describes future in ways that I can never describe. I recommend everybody to take a look at his keynote speech. He lays the future of where the humanity is going with the machines behind me. These machines are amazingly, the way that Jensen sees coming to the to our life is going to change every one of our lives. And so everybody's life will be impacted with AI, and he has a vision. And I'm trying to make that vision happen from my thermal cooling perspective.
Well, now that you've, it was good that you mentioned it, because I'll do what I should have done in the first place, which is probably attach that video. I'm sure it's on YouTube, and, you know, draw some quotes to package with the little article I write for this podcast. But, well, we're coming to the end of our time. But, Bernie, since you were so graciously sort of set this up with all the participation of our participants, maybe I'll give you the last word here.
Well, no, I think, you know, as Elise said, it's an exciting time. It's an exciting time for computing, for AI, and for all of those involved in the ecosystem. It's really going to be a partnership in the ecosystem, you know, building those partnerships between people and organizations like NVIDIA, like Equinix, and some of the cooling providers like JetCool. We all got to work together. And you know, this community is very good at doing that to make sure that we bring the future of compute here today.
Okay, very good. Well, we'll leave it there till we meet again. Thanks for joining us on the Data Center Frontier Show podcast.